and heard the phone as I came through the front door. I strode across the room, and the ringing predictably stopped. Oh. Impossible. Perhaps, but we do it anyway. Thank you.
Tonight's essay in the series Why I Write was presented by the translator Daniel Hahn, produced by Klinos Jones. More recordings from the Hay Festival tomorrow night at the same time, 10:45. This Monday night on BBC Radio 3, it's 11 o'clock now, time for Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson.
He had a huge ensemble with like 28 of his wives. You know, the whole room was like a big congregation of folks, you know. They played for hours, and he saw us out there. And he, at one moment, went off stage, and he had someone come and escort us in the back to meet us. It was fantastic. It was like a complete heavy experience as far as like a presentation of life and music, you know.
A career-defining moment for one of the great tenors of our time, saxophonist Joe Lovano, remembering his meeting with Afrobeat pioneer, saxophonist, composer and man of many spouses, Fela Kuti. Well, over 30 years on, Lovano's gone back to the music he heard that night as the inspiration for a new band, mixing the sounds of West Africa with funk and swing. That concert coming up in just a minute. And later in the show, we'll be hearing from two saxophonists with very different musical approaches. Improvising player Caroline Krabel is the subject of the next in Sarah Gale Brand's series on unsung jazz heroes. And we've an exclusive live solo performance from German sax firebrand Peter Brotzmann to end the show. Joining me in the studio tonight is Radio 3 presenter and writer Kevin Legendre. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jazz.
Now, Kevin, you've seen this new Joe Lovano band. They're called Village Rhythms. You've seen them three times already.
That's right.
You're clearly hooked. Teasers, what's so special about them?
Well, in a nutshell, it's the funkiest, most hard-grooving band that Lovano has had for a while. I think we probably associate him first and foremost with either swing or avant-garde, but this is where he's really, really getting very funky, which kind of takes him back to his roots to a certain extent. We can talk about that later. But it's a very, very danceable kind of music that he's doing with this group.
Well, Kevin's been speaking to Joe Lovano about this project, and it's a great interview. We'll hear that later on. We're going to dive straight into the music. We've got two sets of music for you tonight, and kicking off with a piece called Fela's Shrine After Midnight. Tell us about this.
Well, this is about the visit that Joe made to the Shrine, Fela's iconic club, and how he was inspired by what he saw. And I think if you know anything about Fela's music and the energy of Fela's music, you can definitely hear that connection.
So here's the first set, around about 25 minutes of music, recorded at Ronnie Scott's in London a couple of weeks ago. Joe Lovano's Village Rhythms Band. Joe is on tenor and soprano saxophones, Liberty Elman guitar, Michael Olatuja on bass, Otis Brown III on drums, and Abdu Mboup on percussion. And they start with Fela's Shrine After Midnight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
First two pieces of our gig tonight, recorded at Ronnie Scott's in London. Joe Lovano's Village Rhythms Band, with Joe on saxophones, Liberty Elm on guitar, Michael Olatuja on bass, Otis Brown III on drums, and Abdu Mboup on percussion and vocals there, Kevin, the genre.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful, yeah.
That piece was called Wax Tan, and before that was Fellas Shrine, After Midnight. This is Jazz on 3 with me, Jazz Nelson. We'll be back with that gig in around about 10 minutes' time. My guest on Jazz on 3 tonight is Kevin Legendre. He's here to talk about this performance from Joe Lovano's Village Rhythms Band, a group that he's put together to celebrate the influences that Fela Kuti has had on his life and music. Kevin, kind of remind us of the importance of Fela to, well, Africa and indeed the world.
Africa and beyond, yeah. He created his own language. We associate him first and foremost with Afrobeat, which is his very, very individual, very unique fusion of high life, jazz, funk, rock, electronics, all these different things. But what's really important is the fact that you have him as a character at the centre of the music, and he defines the music really on his own terms. So not just the arrangements, but also the lyrics, which are so important as well, where he's talking about life in Nigeria. He's speaking out against political oppression. So him as a political and musical figure who really is saying, this is my vision of the world, take it or leave it. That uncompromising stance in music, I think, is why Fela is so important.
I was lucky enough to see him on a number of occasions. Extraordinary concerts, unlike anything else. They go on for 4 or 5 hours. And it was kind of a bit like seeing Parliament, Funkadelic, Duke Ellington, James Brown. It was all in there. But the jazz influence, very, very strong in the music.
I think through the big band connection, you mentioned Ellington, that's absolutely key. And big band swing is very much a part of the whole history of high life music, which is one of the sources of Fela's music. So I think probably more than that as well, there's also this idea of creating your own language, of coming up with something which is very individual, which takes us back to the likes of Ellington and Miles and Train, musicians who he greatly admired. So yeah, that connection with jazz, in material terms, in what you hear in the music, but also philosophically as well, I think is very important.
And he's obviously had a big influence on Joe Lovano, as we're going to hear in your interview now.
Yeah, I mean, Joe talks about him in very reverential terms. I think that night that he spent at the Shrine was something which was a bit of a life changer. I think for anybody who engages with Fela's music and knows the stories of the Shrine, this legendary club where they had these jams that went on all night and where you got a real sense of what Fela was like as a character as well, I think this would be a life-changing moment, and it's great to hear him talk about it.
We made this trip to play in Tafa Balewa Square for a jazz festival in Lagos. Anyway, the opportunity came to go to Fela Shrine. So we did, and it was amazing. It was like a complete heavy experience as far as like a presentation of life and music, you know. He had a huge ensemble with like 28 of his wives, which were mostly on stage as a chorus, but around the club also dancing, and you know, the whole room was like a big congregation. And then his band, the way I really remember it, they were on a stage and he's in the center with playing saxophone and some keyboards and things. And they played for hours. And he saw us out there. And I was one of the only Caucasians in the room. Anyway, he was wondering who we were. And he, at one moment, went off stage, and he had someone come and escort us in the back to meet us. It was fantastic. I told him how much I dug his playing and how much I heard Miles Davis and things. I heard a lot of things in his music. James Brown, I heard Sly and the Family Stone. You know, I heard things that I was hip to.
We can obviously see these connections between him and other specific musicians, but if we broaden the whole discussion of his music, if we broaden that out a bit, is the connection with jazz also in his arrangements? Obviously that big band sound that he had, lots of different layers, lots of counterpoint, lots of colours.
Mm-hmm. He was hearing a lot of things, and at the end of the day, the layers and everything feel complex, but in a certain way, I think just the way he would probably teach everyone parts by ear, I was feeling like Charles Mingus and all kinds of things.
Do you mean the famous Mingus method of singing parts to players rather than writing them down?
Yeah, singing parts and having a congregation feeling in the music, which goes into the Ellington Band and the whole history of jazz, the development from Louis Armstrong on had been a collaboration and a congregation of folks creating music together, you know? And I heard that in Fela's music, for sure, you know?
So, Joe, that's Beasts of No Nation.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun to hear. I hadn't heard him play that much alto, but I could hear some of Ornette Coleman in there and all kinds of different things that are happening, you know?
And also the way that he's using the call and response,
There's a real chant that happens all the time, you know? And, of course, he told a lot of stories about his life and the conditions of the people and that is also a part of what jazz is all about, telling stories about the human conditions, about what's happening.
Back to the current group, and I know that the piece with which you opened the gig at Ronnie's was Fela Shrine After Midnight, obviously written in reference to the trip. When I was listening to that piece, it made me think a little bit of some of the very funky groove music that you did in the early part of your career with Lonnie Smith on that album Aphrodisia.
Yeah, well, that was my first recording as a side man, and I was playing with Lonnie in the mid-70s. And we played a club in Detroit. We were the kind of the house band that plays. It was called the Mozambique. And it was a very famous club in Detroit where a lot of folks would come and play.
All these African references are kind of popping up in your life.
And it's from really early time, you know. And, you know, realizing also, like, the amazing African-American masters in jazz through the years have all been so influential for me, you know. In my music that I've composed for this group, my Village Rhythms band, has roots in this folk art concepts but also with a harmonic approach that has been developed through the whole process of developing in the art of improvising in standard songs, and in Thelonious Monk's music, and Billy Strayhorn's music, and John Coltrane's music, you know. So it's a far out combination of things that you experience as a player that develop within your approach about sound and trying to develop in the whole world improvisation.
Joe Lovano in conversation with Kevin LeGenre, and we'll go back for the second part of his gig with his Village Rhythms Band at Ronnie Scott's very soon. Kevin is my guest in the studio tonight. Kevin, and I'm surprised I haven't bored you with my Fela Kuti story before. I haven't told you.
So
that.
Am I. So, but I sense all will be revealed.
I think it was my first ever professional engagement as such, and I went to interview Fela Kuti, and he was staying in a posh hotel in Kensington. I went there and I waited downstairs for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I then got taken upstairs and the door opened to this suite, and I'm not joking, a kind of cloud of smoke came flooding out of the door.
Of happy smoke.
Happy smoke. I then got taken into the bathroom and Fela was in the bath. And Fela was lifted out of the bath by two guys who then put his ceremonial chain around his neck. We went into the lounge. I interviewed him for an hour and it was an amazing experience. I then went downstairs. In those days, you used to record interviews on these things called ewers, and they had quarter-inch tape. And as I got downstairs, like a good journalist I was, I checked the tape and all of the oxide had come off on the heads and nothing was recorded. So I had to go back upstairs and knock on the door and say, Fela, can we do this again? And he was utterly stoned at this point. He thought it was hilarious. And he started calling me Jesus because he thought my name was Jesus.
The second coming.
Jesus, Jesus. So that was my Fela Kuti experience. So, Kevin, I mean, Joe Lovano talking there about his rather more meaningful meeting with Fela Kuti. And, I mean, his relationship between jazz and African music, sort of Fela encapsulates that in a way, the sort of ping pong between the way that jazz influences African music and vice versa.
Back and forth, back and forth. Certainly on one of his most recent projects, Us Five, you got that sense in more explicit terms of how African rhythms and percussion in particular was very important to him. And there was even a reference to another iconic African musician, Manu Dibango. There was a track in his honour as well. So it's a running theme throughout Lovano's career.
This group, though, really obviously brings that influence to the fore, although we'll hear later on that the band actually play something a bit more straight ahead, I guess, an Ellington piece. But he's very good at putting together interesting combinations of musicians, and this band is definitely that.
I think one of the key members of the band, apart from Abdou Mboup, who plays fantastic percussion and also has a beautiful voice, is Liberty Elman, the guitarist. I think he's a really, really good improviser with a beautiful tone, a beautiful touch, who plays very expansively, but never seems to be rushed at all. He has this very relaxed way of phrasing, and that works really well in the group.
Just to say that still to come later on, the sax loving continues as Sarah Gale Brand profiles the improvising saxophonist Caroline Krabel. And we'll close the programme tonight with an exclusive new solo live performance from Peter Brotzman. That's really rather wonderful. Back to the stage of Ronnie Scott's now. And here are Liberty Elman on guitar, Michael Olatuja on bass, Otis Brown III on drums, Abdou Mboup on percussion and vocals, and Joe Lovano on saxophones. And this second set begins with a piece called Yoruban Prophet. Thank you.
Abdu Mbouk. Thank you. Thank you. Otis Brown, Otis Brown, I'm drunk. Otis Brown III. I'm doing boop. I'm doing boop on the percussions. Liberty Elman on guitar. Native son, Michael Olatunja on the bass. My name is Joe Lovano, the Village Rhythms Band.
Sound of bells ringing out there at Ronnie Scott's as the Village Rhythms Band leave the stage. The great Joe Lovano, who truly is one of the great kind of tenors of our time, isn't he? And
absolutely. He's a master, no doubt about it.
And a real presence as well, a great stage presence. And, well, Kevin, you've seen that group three times, is it?
That's right.
Obviously, they deserve and bear repeated listening, which is lucky because you can listen again to that concert and this programme for the next 30 days on the Radio 3 website. And Kevin, apparently an album is due from this group.
I think it might be a live recording with the full Village Rhythms Band, which is actually bigger. I think there's trumpet and vocals as well, so it'd be intriguing to hear what they sound like with extra instruments.
That apparently due for release on Blue Note Records later on in the year. This is Jazz on 3, and just a little bit of gig news for you. Two young British saxophonists, Dee Byrne and Kath Roberts, are starting a joint tour with their bands Entropy and Quadriceratops. That begins tonight, that's Tuesday night. They're playing at the Spotted Dog in Birmingham, then the Lescar in Sheffield on Wednesday night, the Fox and Newt in Leeds on Friday, the Bridge Hotel in Newcastle this coming Sunday, and the Crowbar in Manchester next Monday night. Now, the British improvised music scene seems to be expanding on all fronts at the moment. There are so many high-quality musicians around. Inevitably, there are some who consistently do important and creative work, but go unheralded. Well, in the second of her series of unsung hero profiles, trombonist Sarah Gale Brand has been speaking to the saxophonist and composer Caroline Crabble. Caroline was born in the US but has been resident in the UK for many years and has been at the heart of the improv scene in London. And she's helped to run the London Improvisers Orchestra for many years and has a long-term musical partnership with the singer Maggie Nichols. Well, way back in 2001, Jazz on 3 recorded a session with Caroline and her partner, the bass player John Edwards. As you'll hear in the conversation coming up, the voice is very important to Caroline as well as the saxophone. So before we hear that chat, here's an excerpt from the session that shows both those elements off. Thank you.
I came across you in my early years as an improviser in London, and I seem to remember you standing out because you were someone who didn't come from the jazz scene. And everyone I'd met in improvised music at that point, and we're talking the early 90s here, had come from the jazz scene. And I like the fact that you didn't. Tell me where you came from.
Well, I come from Seattle, and musically, I come from a lot of silence. Because in the household I grew up in, noise was disapproved of and music was considered to be noise. And then when I left home fairly young, I was involved in Seattle's nascent punk scene. It was the idea that you don't have to know anything to make a valid work of art. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have mm-hmm. to know how to play an instrument. So then I came to London and I shared a house. I shared it with members of a band called the Swell Maps. One of them had bought a saxophone, which he just proceeded to neglect completely. And you said, oh, well, saxophone's really well known in jazz. But I didn't know that at all. I knew nothing about it. It's the sax, as you know, is an instrument you can make a sound with right away. And I just thought, oh, wow, this feels so good. I like the way it sounds, you know. And, you know, he basically said, oh, you can have it.
Some musicians come along, get on stage, play, clear off.
Right.
I think about you as someone who's actually involved in the development and the bringing about of situations. You know, I'm thinking about your work helping to organise the London Improvisers Orchestra, which has been going for 16 years,
A long time.
And I'm just thinking about mass producers. And it's an enormous amount of musicians playing the saxophone and singing as well. Tell me about mass producers.
Mass producers was up to 21 people, all of whom were women. And we would stand in a ring around the listeners. And then we would move as we were playing, and also the music that I'd written would move from one musician to the next or across the group, so that for the listener, it was really like an enveloping sort of experience.
You were just saying there about the membership of mass producers. Is there a reason you wanted an all-female ensemble?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one thing is, whenever I played up till then and still today, I get people either saying to me, oh, you play like a man, or oh, your playing is so feminine, or oh, you can't tell you're a woman to listen to you play. But so it always seems to be an issue, so there's that. But I wanted to do something with 20 saxophone players. I didn't just want to do something with any 20 sax players. I wanted to do it with 20 sax players who were like me, you know, especially because when I play, I often alternate between singing and playing. You know, it was wonderful to find 20 women who played the saxophone, each in her own way, each from her own background, whether that was small jazz groups or music school, or there was a woman who'd always played in reggae bands. You know, it was amazing. But I also wanted to find people who could do the same thing with their voices and their saxes, and where we could blend that physically as well as, you know, emotionally or politically. It was important that we all be women.
Latest project is an ensemble called Chemistry Beats Electricity. And it's yourself, it's Cleveland Watkiss, the vocalist, it's Bebe Wang, the percussionist, John Edwards, the bass player, and Mark Sanders, the drummer and percussionist. And I'm intrigued as to how you guys got together.
So Cleveland, like, played with the first time at some sessions that he and Orphy Robinson were doing. They were for improvising, but it was in a kind of more of a free jazz way than in a free improv way. And just recently, maybe in the last, well, since playing with Susan Alcorn, I felt that I can give myself permission to be American. I came here, it was partly a rejection of everything American, and for a long time I really felt hostile towards American things, although I loved American music, you know. But playing with Susan, I felt like I could actually be American and admit that side of myself, you know. And then going to this free jazz night made me think, oh yes, this also speaks to that side of me, although most of the players there were British, but there was that sort of element of jazz, I suppose, came into it.
Thank you very much, Caroline. It's been lovely to hear from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Crabble in conversation with Sarah Gale Brand, and finishing off there with some music from her latest project, Chemistry Beats Electricity. What a brilliant name. And you can see Caroline playing next month as part of the Dawn to Dusk Solstice celebrations at the L'Eclectic Art Lab in Lambeth. Also on the bill, Lewis Mahola Mahola and John Edwards. But you'll need to set your alarms, because Caroline's first appearance is at 5:30 in the morning.
That sounds very Fella-esque.
Fella wouldn't have gone to bed.
He would have just been up all night.
Well, that's almost it for this week. Next week on Jazz on 3, we've pianist and composer Keith Tippett, no less, in session with his new octet. Before that, you can check out Jamie Cullum's show over on Radio 2 later on tonight. That's Tuesday night, when he's going to be in conversation with the buzz saxophonist of the moment, Kamasi Washington. I'm sure you're a fan, Kevin.
I certainly am. It's a heavy album.
And Kevin, you're going to be on Jazz Lineup not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, in conversation with Loose Tubes.
That's right. They closed this year's Gateshead International Jazz Festival, and we had a great chat beforehand talking about their history and the reunion and everything that makes Loose Tubes Loose Tubes.
Something to look forward to Saturday week on Jazz Lineup. We'll close tonight's sax theme show with another of the greats of the instrument. Peter Brotzman was in the UK recently for the Tectonics Festival in Glasgow. You can hear music from that event on Radio 3's Here and Now, which was broadcast last Saturday, but is still available on the Radio 3 website. And the nice people at Here and Now kindly gave us this exclusive solo piece. Well, thank you very much to Kevin for being my guest.
Thank you, Jess.
Also, thank you to Sarah Gale Brand and to my producer, Chris Elkham. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. From me, Jazz Nelson, good night. And here's Peter Brotzman.